Don't forget the mute button. Hey, there's the beer pour. All right, it's Thursday night. It's 8 o'clock. You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, the tree hugger. And man, we're looking at 14 days and a wake up.
Boondoggle. Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Ooh, yeah. Here's another boondoggler joining us here on Buzzards Row. Hey, Rob.
Yo. I'm excited, buddy.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Of course, man. The boondoggle is awesome.
Are you excited as Christopher Columbus with speedboats?
Absolutely.
Or Gallagher at a farmer's market?
There you go, man. I'm telling you. Boondoggle's a boondoggle, man. Nothing like it in the world.
I know. Here's another boondoggle, man.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
And that's it, yakangler.com. In the house in JPSW Fish, Jim is listening in. So if he wants to talk, he'll press the button. But and we'll say goodnight to him when we get there if he doesn't say anything else. But in the house, in the chat room. The Yak Sushi Man, the only person with a gourd as large as mine. When we pass each other, the gravity pulls us closer together. If we were in our yaks, man, we would collide. So the Yak Sushi's in the house. Hey, we're into what is today? We're 10 days, 2 weeks into 2012 Kayak Angler's Choice Awards. If you haven't voted, get in there and vote. We need to get your votes. You can go to yakangler.com/choice. And I guess, I had the buffering issue they're talking about in the chat room. I had the buffering issue the other night. Yeah. It's not playing kindly with Firefox right now. I had to go to Safari to get it to quit buffering on me the other night. I was listening to the Double L crew. So yeah, so in the chat room, whoa, there's the big fly reel. Holy cow, man. If I haven't seen Mr. Becker in a while. Let's give him a little bit of say hey. Here's Becker. Unless he's in a cool Cuvassier mood, then he'd be... No, that's not it. All right, it's the wrong one. There you have the Cuvassier sitting up next to the fireplace. That would be Mr. Becker. Suave and deboner. Bonita Bob. And Mr. Van Pelt joining us down from the southwest corner of Florida there. Welcome in, guys. Scuba Stan. There he is, our Chucktown specialist. Yak Chum, and as I said, the Yak Sushi Man is down there filling out the bottom. Anyways, Firefox is not working, some is Chrome. If you're having problems with that, if you're a guest and you're in the chat room there and you want to play along, you can log in with your Facebook, with your Twitter, or you can just make a quick little account on Blog Talk Radio. I don't see any spamming or anything like that, but you have to log in to be able to chat in the chat room. Other than that, we appreciate you tuning in tonight. And like I said, we're about 14 days out. I'm looking at the weather forecast. The 10-day only goes to the 29th, but that's looking pretty sweet. Averages of about mid-70s to the low 60s. And I was watching some of the Facebook chatter from the folks up there in where are they? And they are saying that the fish are starting to roll in, man. So and on the oh, I lost Rob. his grandma must have called. That's usually what happens when grandma calls. He has to answer it. So, but anyways, who designed this crap? Yeah, I think it was who did design that? There's Robbie, made it back. Did grandma call, man?
No, sorry. I was playing around with my smartphone and accidentally hung up on you, man.
And actually, it's not that smart, man. So
yeah.
Don't depend on the phone.
It's just me.
Yeah. Anyways, I was saying the weather forecast for the end of the month. Yeah, mid-70s, low-60s. Might have to bring a couple of layers just in case.
Oh, yeah. Well, I always do anyway if I'm if I'm about anywhere 100 miles or more away from Rob Central here, I definitely make sure that I take everything just in case.
Right. I got one of those big giant action packers that I just have full of like spares and waders and stuff like that, because
it doesn't hurt to bring a couple of extra skull hoodies, you know. And some long sleeve skull shirts.
Yakstone is saying he's bringing the dry gear just in case.
Yeah. I'm definitely bringing the waders because, you know me, I'm allergic to the cold. I'm a big old wimp, man. If it gets 70 degrees, I'm putting the hoodie on. If it gets under that, it's like, where's the winter clothes?
Right. Yeah, and I got the breathable wader, so I can live in those all day long as it doesn't get much above 75 or so.
Yeah.
So.
What do you got? You got togs?
No, I got the BPS specials, man. They were they were on sale for like $69. So.
Nothing wrong with that. If they work, man, that's great.
Yeah, I've had them for a couple of years. Haven't poked any holes in them or anything like that. So.
If you just get some of that. That ThermoSeal stuff
Absolutely. Yeah. Yak Chum's saying, bring your winter clothes. Yak Chum, what's the water temp up there right about now, man? Anybody got an idea what the water temps are?
I've heard high 60s in 70, lower 70.
Yeah. Okay. So that's kind of like California.
That's not terrible,
temps. No. Yeah. Man, I lived in Cali for like 10 years, and the beaches, you go to the beach, nobody goes into water because it's so dang cold. It would get like the end of July, middle of August, the temps might get up to about 70, in the water. But other than that, man, you got to have a wetsuit and to swim and surf and stuff like that. So,
I would see those people, and I'm like, what are they, crazy? because you think that the water temperature is like 90 like it is here, but it's not.
Yeah, it's thinking Humboldt current, coming down from the Arctic.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yakchum's saying 70-degree water, 72-degrees air. Okay. He was out short sleeves on Sunday, 70 right now in Jersey. So if you're planning on doing a boondoggle, you might want to anticipate some cooler evenings and stuff, Bring
Absolutely.
The cardigan. You gonna break out your cardigan, man, and bring it along.
Do you have a special kayak fishing radio, like smoking jacket?
I might have to. We should maybe dress for dinner. What do you think?
Like you and Mr. Becker.
Yeah.
Sit around the fireplace with your pipes and stuff.
That's right, man. Break out the Cavassier. Being suave.
There you go.
No, I'm stoked, man. You see I posted the banner, the picture of the banner. So
I saw that, man. What made you change the color?
We didn't change the color.
I thought it was red this time or something, and it's usually black.
It
is
black.
I look different about it.
You're looking at the background, man. My Jeep's red. It's a black banner laying on the hood of my Jeep.
Okay. My bad. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Now the logo that we put together for the for the kids t-shirts and stuff like that, and that's like the green logo. It's like, the green Virginia and then the colored three color logos for our Yak Angler and Kayak Fishing Radio. So
yeah.
Yeah, Sushi's calling you colorblind, man, in the chat room.
Yeah, you know, too much. Well, you know, I'm sitting there and, you know, I got a pretty bad, bad to the bone smartphone, you know. It's just the user is not so smart. But anyway, I'm like, you know, my friend Tina just got one of those Galaxy S3s, you know.
Right.
And this thing just like blows my mind. I have an Evo, you know, an HTC Evo. And this thing, this Galaxy S3 is just the bomb. So I was noticing how, like, the color, the screen, the display is, like, so much more vivid than mine. You know, like, it actually shows, you know, reds don't come up as maroon and orange. You know? And so the display is awesome on that thing. So I'm suffering some smartphone envy at the moment.
Yeah, well, you know, they had, like, there was a science paper that came out about a week or so ago saying that women are more sensitive to colors than men are. And like they see greens and colors like, you know, a lot better than men do. So it doesn't matter to us, right? Let me catch this caller. We got a new caller here on the Buzzards Row. Area code 757, you're on the air.
What's going on, man?
Oh, it's the Wheeler. How are you, man?
Doing good.
I was trying to catch some of your show last night, and I was in a continuous buffering hell zone. I couldn't get any audio to come up.
Damn.
And now I'm seeing some guys in the chat room this evening are having a problem, so they're doing different, using a different browser. So we're going to have to see what the compatibility issues are there.
You know what they could also do is just call in and listen in over the phone.
You could, just like Jim JPSW Fish is doing right now, listening. And I'll hit him up here in a little bit. But anyways, so dude, 14 and a wake up, man. Are you stoked?
I am so stoked, especially now that the Tasty is readily available.
Is what?
Killcliff is readily available now up here. So.
Oh yeah, you guys are getting it in the stores, huh?
Yeah. For those that don't know, GNC is now carrying Killcliff. There you go. My shameless plug of the night. Yep.
What was it? It's
not an energy drink. It's a recovery drink.
No, yeah, it's a recovery drink, but it's awesome. If you're an old guy like me, you know, and after you've been in the kayak all day long, you know, it's nice to kind of gets the joints working. Yeah, it's a recovery drink. What does it say on the can? It's something about it's a it's refreshingly tart or something like that. I don't know. It's got to get some kind of grapefruit flavor
tasty.
To it. Yeah, it's
a ginger flavor.
It's tasty.
Like ginger ale almost.
Yeah.
But
so.
I've been using it on the charter boats when I start getting a client that's starting to get sick.
Uh-huh.
I give them a can of it, and because of the ginger in it.
Really?
I've only had one person, you know, chum the water because of that. Yeah.
Hmm.
I really like the stuff a lot.
You know, Killcliff as a antidote for seasickness or motion sickness, eh?
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
I feel 100 times better, and then I give them a can when they leave, and, you know, it helps, you know.
Killcliff, right. Bunch of Navy SEALs. They're here in Atlanta. I keep trying to catch every now and then when I'm on my way to work in the morning. I see they got this huge, you know, kicking four-wheel drive pickup truck all wrapped up in a Killcliff label and stuff like that. And by the time I grab my phone and get the camera working and stuff, they're already past and I can't get a picture of them, but it's pretty cool. So Stan's back in the house, Scuba Stan. We'll be seeing them at the Boondoggle. Dude, we have so many people signed up for the Boondoggle so far on the Facebook page. If you haven't gotten the invite, if you're not sure, if you're listening to this and you don't know what a boondoggle is, you need to go to yakangler.com/boondoggle or kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle. Either way, you'll get to some of our past events, some of the information that's out there for this one. We still don't have a good solid location. Which we will announce Saturday night for our follow-on boondoggle for the next one, which will be President's Day weekend. That'll be in February. So we usually have at least two a year, February, President's Day, and in October for Columbus Day. The boondoggle, it's just a unnecessary waste of time, and it's pretty awesome.
I don't consider it a waste of time.
No, man. It's really cool to just hang out, go fishing with some folks. You know, we got a couple of little things. If you want to play, that's fine. But if you don't, just show up and fish. Let me say hi to 321. You're on the air. Hello, Chuck. Chuck.
Yo.
Hello, Chuck.
Howdy.
Howdy. How are you?
I am well now, sir. Thank you very much for asking.
You're well now?
Yes, I had a bit of a bug run through me for about 24 hours, and it was the absolute worst experience of my entire life. Whoa, wait, kind of, close.
Yeah.
A close second.
A close second.
So I don't wish that upon anybody, but other than that, my friend, I am well. I would like to apologize to everybody for not having done a show in 2 weeks, but I've had a lot of stuff going on, and whatever. Everything's good.
Slacker.
Slacker, right. Yeah, I definitely have not been slacking. Listen, I'm like literally running on zero sleep right now. Everything is just full steam ahead for some projects that we're working on. I like the sheep. I'm into sheep. It's cool.
That's a goat, right? Man. It's not a sheep. It's a goat.
Sheep, goats, whatever.
Can't you tell the difference?
Anyway.
All right. Chuck is our Monday night host, generally, not for the past two Monday nights, but we'll put him some slack for it.
We're part-time Monday host.
Yeah, our part-time.
Yeah, shut up, Rob.
So,
You know what?
Can I
give a real quick shout-out to some very, very, very dear friends of mine and to Kayak Fishing Radio?
Okay.
Dan and Holly. Scuba Stan and his lovely wife, Holly.
Yeah.
Were the most gracious hosts that one could ever ask for.
Yeah, I can't believe you're up there, man. You didn't even freaking tell me, you know. I could have, like, drove over and we could have fished together and stuff.
Well, we probably should have done that, Chip. We probably would have done much better than what I did. But, so, man, it was awesome.
Did Holly kick the crap out of you?
Did she kick the crap out of me? She scared the crap out of me.
Fishing-wise, like, you know, she probably caught, like, some 40-inch redfish or something. You and Stan are, like, catching little sail cats or something.
Listen, mister, you must forget who you're speaking to. No.
They don't call you Catfish Charles for nothing.
Right, exactly. No, listen, I'm going to be perfectly honest. Like, I was kind of in awe of South Carolina. Like, if the Levi family ever decides to pack up and move somewhere, there's a very good possibility that the Charleston area may be the new location because, wow, that place is awesome. I've never experienced a flood tide that was 6.5 feet before.
That's like Jacksonville.
Well, let me finish telling my story.
I'm listening.
We set out on one of the days we're up there, in Stan's like 19-foot or 20-foot sailfish bay boat, and I'm thinking to myself, he's talking about flood tides, fishing this grass flat. I'm like, in this thing? Okay, cool. And then he's got one of his buddies who works for him at the marina, which, by the way, Stan is the harbor master of the largest marina in South Carolina, if you guys didn't know that. And marina is awesome. So anyway, his little buddy's got a Hughes, which is a beautiful flats boat. Anyway, he's following us. So when we get to this area, the tide's still down quite a bit, and it's just now starting to come in. So we start working our way back up this creek. Now, when I say a creek, the ditches I catch my tarpon in are wider than this creek. And Stan is on the bow of this bay boat with the trolling motor. I'm standing next to Stan waiting to see redfish because I'm all excited and all, you know, gassed up about it. And so I have, like, my moment of glory when I see a redfish tailing in the grass as the grass starts to flood. And I pitch a jig, and I missed the target. I'll be honest, I did. And then I reeled in, and I pitched again, and he saw the boat, and he swam past us, whatever. So now I'm, like, really excited. All right, we've been on this spot for, like, 2 seconds, and I already saw a tailing fish. This is going to be epic. And then everybody but me and Jimmy, who is my buddy Chris's, like, camera assistant guy, and Stan and Holly's children get off the bay boat and get onto the flats boat and leave me. So I'm stuck on the bay boat with Stan and Holly's kids and Jimmy.
Don't leave us with the children.
Jimmy is not a children person. He doesn't know how to handle kids. Like, he was losing his mind. And I've got kids, obviously, so it's no big deal to me. But here's where the worst part of the story comes in. I'm watching Stan and Holly jump out of this huge glass boat and walk in thigh deep worth of water, and I keep seeing the kid on the polling platform pointing out tails, and I see them throwing like mad at these fish. So it's driving me nuts because A, there's redfish out in front of me and I can't get to them because I'm with the kids. B, because they're not hooking the fish, so it's just really driving me nuts. And so, not that I thought that I could do any better, but I just wanted to be in the action. You know what I'm saying? Oh, dude. Finally, there's like 6 tails about maybe 60 yards from the bow of the bay boat. So with all of the power that that little trolling motor had, I drove it as hard as I could into the grass to bury that boat as far into the grass as I could so that I would feel safe in jumping out and leaving Jimmy with Stan and Holly's kids. That's what I did. I jumped out. Well, I get to my glory moment again. There's a tail maybe about 15 feet out in front of me, and Chris yells at me, "My battery's dead on the camera. I need another battery." And I'm like, "Okay, but can I catch this fish real quick?" "No." All right. So whatever. Make long story short, I didn't catch any fish that particular day, nor did Stan and Holly, which makes me feel better. But on a positive note, Stan and Holly live in front of a pond that Stan told me there's catfish and carp in. I caught 6 bass in the pond the first day we were there. Stan has lived on the pond for a while now and still never caught a bass out of it. Holly, however, has caught a bass out of it before Stan did. So the truth of the matter is I really think Holly's got the advantage on the fishing prowess there in the household. I'm sorry, Chip, I'm babbling, but it was just such an epic adventure. I'll talk more about it on my show, but real quick, Holly is out of her ever-loving mind. The woman loves venomous snakes with, like, this very strange passion that I don't really quite understand. One of the nights we were up there, she went on a snake drive with her daughter. Okay? Daughter. And 3 years old. Take her on a snake drive. Let's go look for venomous snakes. This is going to be fun. And she catches 2 copperheads in about 20 minutes and a small red rat snake. And so we get to Stan's parents' house out in, I forget the name of the place, but that place is awesome too. But Holly's daughter comes down the steps of this house with this red rat snake in her hands. And I'm thinking to myself, that's cool, yet really weird. 3-year-old walking around with snakes in her hands, whatever. And then Holly's like, "Oh, you guys got to see the snakes I got." So she shows us these copperheads and whatever. So she leaves for a little while, comes back, and she's got a bigger one. Like, I don't know, this copperhead's like 3.5 feet long, and which is, I guess, a good size for a copperhead. I don't know how big they get, but apparently she was all excited about it. So the next morning, we turn the thing loose out in the front yard, and Chris is filming her catching the snake again. And this time it's like striking at the snake hook, and it's like trying to bite. And she tires it out, whatever, and then we milked it. And that was the craziest thing I've ever done in my entire life. I held the champagne glass with the saran wrap over the top. And she had the snake bite the top of the saran wrap, and it, like, spit its venom in the glass, and it was just nuts. But, like,
I heard the udders are real small on those snakes, man. You got to kind of use your little fingers.
You have to milk the teats very carefully because
you got little bitty teats on them.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You can't use your fingernails because you might cut them off. That's not good. But anyway,
wow.
So we're getting ready to leave the next day, and she's standing on the porch, and like 50 yards away, there's a black racer that must have come out of the grass because Holly bolts like Lightning McQueen bolts fast right across the yard, and she's like chasing the snake. And I'm like, I think black racers bite, don't they? She's like, oh yeah, they bite a lot. It's so cool. I'm like, what? Did you just hear what you just said? Like, you're reaching into bushes. You can't even see where he went. And she's like, yeah. Yeah, dude, that's what I would have done. I'm not even going to lie. I'd have screamed like a girl. So she's like, oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. No problem. I deserve it. So she's like, oh, yeah, they bite, but it's no big deal. You know, they're not venomous. And, oh, by the way, at the boondoggle, don't ever call a venomous snake poisonous. I learned that, too. But whatever, just absolutely incredible time.
Only if you eat them. No, go ahead.
Right, absolutely gracious hosts. I mean, I love those people. They're like family to me. Man, it was just so fun. We had a great, great time. So that's my story. That's all I
okay,
got.
Okay, so
all
right. We have with us Mr. Stan. So, Stan, you can tell us your side of the story now.
His story is very accurate. It was an amazing experience. I mean, it was like 4 or 5 very exhausting days. I learned a lot, had a lot of fun. I learned a lot about Redfish Chuck, and that is one doggone fine man.
He's good looking.
I don't know
too,
how
isn't
he didn't.
Did you give him a big man hug?
Yeah, I did. I gave him a man hug, but good looking.
Awesome.
You know, I mean, that's up for discussion.
Remember, it only counts if you make eye contact during the hug.
I tried with Stan. He wouldn't give it to me. He wouldn't give the eye contact.
You know,
how many people called you later and said, dude, were you hanging out with that country and western singer?
I actually, hold on, where were we? We were going through McDonald's, and the lady in the McDonald's drive-thru, I said, the guy behind me is a famous country singer, and so I don't know what she, like, when he actually went through, but I did say that at McDonald's when they were behind me.
That explains a lot. That was probably why she was staring in the truck, like, trying to figure out who was in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's looking past Chuck going, where's the famous country guy, man? What's up with there's nobody else in the truck.
But I don't know if he said it, but when we went, he ended up watching the kids. So Chris, Jimmy, Holly, and I could go fish a pond that I knew had redfish in it. It's kind of across from the place where we were staying, my parents' place. And Chuck, I know he wanted to go fishing so bad, man, but he manned up and watched my monsters so we could go do a little filming around this pond. I come back, and Chuck's like, your son takes man size. Beep. And evidently, yeah.
Let me tell you,
Hold on.
I've changed a lot of diapers in my life. A lot. And the turd that came out of the pie.
Oh, come on. Really?
We had to go there, right?
Was
yeah,
impressive.
We had to go there.
It was impressive. Like, people, like grown people wish they had BMs like that. That was awesome. You know, but the worst part. Hold on, real quick. Going back to the pond.
Wow.
Let me explain this pond.
He's on the air with you now, Chuck.
Yeah, I know. Let me explain this pond to you guys real quick. It's literally like in the middle of the woods, and it's got flounder, redfish, ladyfish, like all kinds of stuff living in it. The worst
is it landlocked or is it tidal?
Pretty much. I think there's only a culvert that goes there, right, Stan?
Yeah, that's correct. There's just a culvert.
Oh, cool. All right.
So listen to this. The worst part about this, and I'm sure they did it on purpose, was if you're standing in the kitchen at Stan's parents' place and you look out the window, you could see the pond from the window. And I'm watching Stan, Holly, Chris, and Jimmy wander around this pond, sure catching fish, while I've got bubble guppies.
Massive BMs.
Massive BMs, which was awesome. It doesn't bother me. But I've got, like, cartoons on. I'm trying to appease the kids. Hannah wants to go out and catch butterflies. And, you know, then she tells me it's too hot. And Ty's, like, trying to eat feathers and whatever else he can get in his mouth. And it was just, it was definitely an interesting experience, to say the least. But, no, in all honesty, his children are complete angels. And it was a lot of fun. I'm glad we spent the time we did together. Yeah, it was awesome. But now on to more business.
Now we're just looking forward to meeting back up at Boondoggle.
That's right, man. We are headed that way in 14 days and a wake up.
Boondoggle.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Sweet. Right?
Yeah, we get a splash, or Holly's new piece of plastic gets its maiden voyage tomorrow.
Oh, yeah? She's got a new Revo, right?
She got a Revo 13.
Sweet.
So since the last boondoggle, I'm in about 12 or 13 grand.
You're catching up with me, man.
The lifestyle, you know. Hopefully this thing will, like, plateau off or something. But man, it's boondoggling is a lifestyle, and I found my niche. I love it.
The boondoggling, man. You're a boondoggle groupie.
Groupie is, I don't know if I would use that terminology, but definitely
a fanatic.
A fan or participant. Fanatic sounds good.
Fanatic, okay.
Yeah, groupie just sounds a little strange.
Okay. Just, all right, yeah. Fanatic. Stan,
fanatic, I'm cool with.
Fanatic fan. Fanatic Stan. There we go.
There you go.
By the way,
we just collected a new raffle prize. I'd like to real quick say thank you to Brown's Taxidermy here in Florida, Brevard County and Port Canaveral, to be more specific. They have graciously donated a 40-plus-inch striped bass mount to the raffle to help out with the Heroes in the Water, yada, 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 yada. So
let me get this straight. Is it already a mounted fish, or is it you can get one mounted?
No. It's going to be in my hands. It will be a 40-plus-inch striped bass replica that somebody will take home with them so they can tell fish stories and pretend that they caught one.
I need that.
There you go. Win it.
I got pretty mad skills when it comes to raffles, dude.
So I've heard.
I like to say hey to the folks in it. Some more folks joining us in the chat room. Cap D Fish and let's see who else. Oh yeah, Hammerhead has shown up. There's a few guests in there. If you guys want to talk in the chat room, you got to sign in Facebook or Twitter or just make a quick login and you're good to go and you can participate. Yak Sushi left the house. I think Rob Choi, I saw him checking in there for a sec. But these folks are all going to be up at the Boondoggle 5 through 8 October. We're 2 weeks away. Stan's probably already got all of his trash laid out in the front yard, got an inventory ready to go. Are you're in the quad pod now, right, man? You started loading up the quad pod yet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Chuck was introduced to the quad pod.
Yeah?
Quad pod is the answer. However, I did not get to sleep in the quad pod. Rather, I was able to sleep underneath the roof, which was a much nicer experience for myself. But, yes, the quad pod is awesome. I'm actually searching Craigslist at the moment looking for camping.
For your own quad pod?
Yeah, man. The Levi family could use something like that.
That would be cool, huh? I think one day we're going to just have a big old giant KFR bus, you know. We'll just have a boondoggle bus.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, wrap it up, you know.
Dragon wagon.
Yeah.
Outfit like one of those old Partridge Family buses, man.
Actually, I'm thinking more of like a Kenworth, an old Kenworth, and a 40-foot trailer, you know, that we cut some windows in it and stuff, make it look like an old cattle car or something, you know.
That would be awesome.
Buy school buses, extremely cheap.
No, we in the Marine Corps, when you go around they take you out to the ranges and stuff. That's what it is, man. It's like it's a tractor trailer, man, and the trailer is all set up like it's a cattle car, dude. It's got doors on it and everything. Yeah. They put you in it and you go. That's what we need for the boondoggle, man.
What they used to call those in the war, World War II, 40 and sixes, I think.
Four deuces.
Old train cars. They used to call them forty by sixes or something like that. They were train car. I don't know, whatever.
But hey Stan, you need to wrap the quad pod, man, in some sort of fish motif.
Oh, that is brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
just the other day.
Get the marina to pay for it.
Put a little redfish tail on it or something like that.
Oh, I could come up with something good.
Or maybe get Snake Girl to paint some snakes on it and stuff, you know. Of course, those folks might mistake you for some traveling sideshow.
Kayak fishing radio logo.
Yeah. There you go.
How to wrap my truck like a redfish and never mind. All right, I can't say that.
All right.
But no, the other day I actually put my Yak Angler sticker, my KFR sticker, and my EGA on the back glass window. So it's getting the stickers now.
That's all. Yeah, we have to get some more stickers. So we'll hook you up with some more. Chuck is the sticker master, man. He can find the stickers for you. You won't need to wrap
them. Oh, I still have stickers that he gave me when I first met him, but they're huge and they're Bloody Deck stickers, and I haven't found the perfect spot for them. So they're just hanging out, waiting to be placed somewhere.
Certain sticker feng shui, right? That you have to have.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Right. Awesome. So, well, this has turned out to be an interesting evening of chat here on Kayak Fishing Radio. So, Wheeler's just giggling and stuff.
Well, I've been sitting here trying to think, where is the next boondoggle going to be?
Yeah, dude, you know, February to me, I'm not much of a cold person.
Chucktown.
I think it'll still be cold in Chucktown.
It could be pretty cold, Chucktown.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Choco again. Choco Deuce.
Well, there's so many other places that we haven't been yet, you know, that...
Long Point Park, Sebastian Inlet area.
Yeah, cool. That's pretty cool.
Park.
You know, there's Cedar Key, Pensacola, you know, the panhandle of Florida is not too bad. Actually, when you start getting over that way, you start getting get into some of that cold weather. As those cold fronts come through, it can be a little brisk over there. But somewhere around the Big Bend area, so look at there. We got some Cab de Fish is saying Galveston. I tell you what, though, I could almost be swayed into those two lakes over near San Antonio, those freshwater lakes around the electric power plants where they stocked them with those with redfish and all. I might be swayed in driving over to Texas to do some freshwater redfishing.
You were about out of your mind.
What, to drive to Texas?
Drive that far.
Dude, I'd drive anywhere.
Drive for me. Dude.
The first year that we did, we started the Boondoggles, right, with the Little Talbot Island. That year, I tallied it all up, and just doing the little mini trips and stuff like that, going down to Cedar Key, Pensacola, Panama City, going to Louisiana, Alabama, back down to Florida a few times. I put almost 12,000 miles on my trailer and my Jeep driving fishing that year. So it's been a slow year this year, but we'll be catching up here pretty soon. Say what?
That's dedication, my friend.
It's fun, man. What's better to do than to go somewhere and fish with somebody, right?
I agree 110%.
See, I mean, you went up to Chucktown and you fished with Stan and Holly, and I mean, that's freaking awesome, man. You guys didn't even call me, so I'm a little ticked at that, man.
Well, we were kind of doing secret culvert operation while we were up there, so I mean, it was there was like no downtime really to speak of.
Right, yeah, you didn't want the old man slowing you down. I understand.
That's pretty much what it was, honestly. Well, Chip's getting kind of old. He's starting to gimp around a little bit. I don't want to push the man around in a wheelchair, make him feel bad. No, listen, honestly, the fat kid, i.e. me, was like on the verge of having a heart attack several times during this particular trip. Just because I don't move quite as quickly as I used to do. And so keeping up with the likes of Dan and Holly, who run 7 miles every morning like a maniac, and Chris and his buddy Jimmy.
They need a cheeseburger each, don't they?
Dude, they need like several cheeseburgers. I felt out of place. We had like, and I love, trust me, I love good company. Like, we went to Outback one night, not Stan and Holly, me, Chris, and Jimmy. And like, Chris is sitting there. I had an 8 ounce or 9 ounce sirloin, which is like, I mean, you might as well just give me like a potato chip. So I'm sitting there. I finished my sirloin real quick, and Chris is like eating on his sirloin, and it's like the whatever 6 ounce or the smaller one than the one I got, and he ate like half of it. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, you're not really gonna leave that on the plate, are you? Like, I felt like such a fat bastard, man. And because I'm pretty full.
Oh,
I had like
that was up my nose.
He's like, I had like a whole head of lettuce, like it's in a bowl. I'm pretty good right now. I'm like, well, you gotta give me the other piece of steak, man. There's no way I'm letting you throw that away. But anyway,
you wanna finish that roll?
Dude, I'm telling you, it was way crazy. Just whatever. It was awesome, man. If anybody gets an opportunity to go up and fish with Stan and Holly and just spend some time with those folks, Stan, I appreciate everything you did, man. And I know we got your kids all off kilter there for a couple of days. They didn't know which way was up, down, left, or right. So it was kind of crazy. I will tell you, it's very strange to be called Redfish Chuck every single day, every like 25, 30 minutes. Hannah, his little girl, every time she saw me, hi, Redfish Chuck. One morning she woke me up. She's like, Redfish Chuck, it's time to get up. I'm like, what? Like, have I died? Like, am I in heaven right now? Is something talking? You know, like, it was just
little
whatever.
Angel,
man,
voice.
Awesome.
Redfish
yeah,
Chuck.
Yeah, the sweet little, innocent little angel voice is like, Redfish Chuck, it's time to get up. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's like the first day I got to sleep in an actual bed. And it was the most comfortable bed in the world. And it's like 7 in the morning or whatever, or 8 in the morning. It could have been 12.
Oh, you were sleeping in late, you sloth.
Oh, man, it was bad. But no, it was so much fun, man. What a great time. You guys will see it. You guys will see it. We'll have, we should have a edited video to kind of pass around here in probably, I would say, probably a couple of weeks. We're filming, Chris are filming tomorrow. So,
you know what? I'm going to bring my projector to the Boondoggle. So that and the laptop, you know, we can throw up it on a big screen on the wall and for dinner on Saturday night.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be edited. I don't know if it'll be edited down in 2 weeks, man. We've got literally like
I don't even know, man. Probably 20.
Well, you ain't been doing a radio show, so you got time.
In my face.
Just a superstar, man. He doesn't do the editing. He's person on film. He's in front of the camera.
Zach Brown.
I just show up and drink beer.
Zach Brown don't edit.
So do the credits say Zach Brown, you know, angler?
Yeah.
I don't know. But whatever, man. I just, you know what? It's been an awesome experience, and it continues to be. And I don't know. Keep y'all's fingers crossed, man. You know, we might take this thing somewhere. So we've got interest in what we're putting together from Animal Planet right now. So there's a good possibility that, you know, things will continue to go forward, unless they decide they don't like the fat kid who's in the video, and then I'm out of luck.
I hear the camera put some pounds on you, man. So.
Yeah, well, that's what me and Chris were talking about today. I said, you know, I'm like 240, 245 right now, and if it adds 10 pounds, it's 250, 255. Either way, I still look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. So let's just let's just hope they like the jolly guy with the beard and the ski cap. So we'll see.
There you go.
I think Chuck, myself, and Chris are all scared they're going to fire us and just take Holly and start something with her.
That's it. You know, it'd be Holly and Turtle Man.
Yeah, no, it'd be like fat guy, bald guy. Y'all go away. Let's take the pretty one that catches snakes and do something totally different.
Yeah,
fishing.
Live
guy, don't care.
We got live action here.
I'm telling you. I ain't ever. Oh, and by the way, I know a few of you guys like to hunt, and as I do. And let me tell you, it is so hard to drive around at night. And what's the name of that area your parents live, bud?
Edisto Island.
Edisto Island. It's so hard to drive around Edisto Island at night looking for snakes, spotlighting in the woods, and seeing not 10, not 20, not 50 deer, but like literally hundreds of deer standing around in the woods like it's no big deal. And not want to just snipe one. It's like the worst ever. And I jokingly said to Holly, and this is now remember, this is the kind of lady that we're dealing with here. I said, Holly, I said, can I shoot one? And she goes, yeah, there's a gun in my purse. I'm like, oh my God, awesome. So I was like thinking about reaching for her purse, and I said, really? And she goes, no, you idiot. It's whatever, it was like midnight at the time. She's like, it's 12 o'clock at night. I'm like, oh, so if it was like 7, it'd be cool. But
yeah.
Whatever. It was just wild. Wild.
Yeah, there is a 9 in the purse. She just doesn't want to get caught for shining for deer.
Yeah, that
right.
Would be a little. All right.
Whatever. Well, sorry about that. Sorry we took up your entire show, Chip.
No,
yeah,
this is
sorry,
cool, man. This is what it's all about, man. Getting together and chatting, talking about fishing, hunting, whatever we want to do. Man, it's our show. We can do what we want with it, right?
Well, it's kind of the theme of Thursday nights, right? Roundtable discussion,
that's
wherever it,
man.
Leads us.
That's it. Regional reports. We got Chucktown represented. We got ATL. We got the Northeast. You know, we got Florida. We're good to go, man. So, all right.
And I did catch a fish in this whole time period. Surprisingly, I caught a fish. It was a redfish.
Uh-huh.
You know, pretty excited about that. And it was on a chartreuse. Before I hit the water, I said, Chuck, I know you're stuck with the kids. I said, it's stained water. He goes, is it stained or is it muddy? I said, it's muddy. He said, use something with chartreuse, probably chicken off the chain, chartreuse tail. Well, I used something that was like chartreuse and white.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember if it was who made it, Slayer, DOA, whatever. And that's what I caught my fish on.
Awesome.
So, props to the redfish show.
One of these guys is a famous singer, and the other one knows how to fish, right? All right. Well, guys, that's about it for tonight, because, hey, I need my beauty sleep. So, anyways. Yeah, I got to go chase the clone down and make sure he's got his homework done and all that good stuff. So I appreciate y'all being here. Rob, what's your plans for the weekend, man?
No fishing for me till
still the boondoggle, I think. I'm pretty much, I got, I'm like just, basically I live behind my Mac when I'm not at work. I'm editing like crazy, and I got a new project coming out. It's a group effort, and I should have the trailer done here soon.
Cool.
I'll get that out and let you all know. Trust me, you'll get so you're gonna see it so much you're gonna get tired of seeing it. So, but it's the first of many new things coming down the road, and gonna be excited about it, man.
Cool. All right, we look forward to it. All right.
Yeah.
And Wheeler, about you, man. Got some charters. What are you doing?
Yeah, I got a overnight charter tomorrow. Leaving at like 7 in the morning, head out in the blue. Going to try the white marlin bite out here. If you ever want to go marlin fishing, this is the time of the year for Virginia Beach. I mean, we're talking, you know, 10 whites, a blue or two, some sailfish, and then at night the swordfish bite has just been freaking incredible. If you're not getting 2 or 3 bites, you're doing something very wrong. So we're going to do that. Plus the alpha tuna is starting to move in too, so we're going to head up north and see if we can't bang a couple of them out. And I'm trying to persuade the captain to let me bring the cuda along. See if we can't get one of the clients in the cuda and catch him a yellowfin or white marlin. So,
cool.
That's my
All
weekend.
Right. Sweet. Mr. Chuck?
Sir.
Your plans?
I am, tomorrow we are fishing. Me and Chris are fishing and filming in the Indian River with a buddy of mine who's on a massive school of giant pig redfish. He hasn't caught one under 42 inches yet in this entire week. So should be awesome. And these fish are kind of weird. They're actually taking artificial, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Just going to try and get one on fly and a couple other things. But and then Sunday, we've got our fingers crossed. There's a good possibility we're going to get to go out and kill some rare and endangered red snappers since they decided to be so kind and generous to us and give us 2 weekends out of the entire freaking year to kill them. So we're going to go
out
and
they're opening them back up here for the next 2 weekends too. So
yeah, the 1 fish limit per person and no size limit deal.
And they want you to throw the carcass in the little box there so they can check them out.
Yeah, and then so we're gonna do that and try and film some of that too. And I don't know.
Cool.
I'm kind of like Wheeler. I'm gonna try and persuade my buddy who owns the boat to let me throw a kayak in there so we can get some footage of me catching some of these reef fish and pelagics out of the kayak. So we'll see.
Awesome. Way to go. All right. I'm gonna plug in Mr. JPSW Fish, Jim.
Hey, man.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, man. Glad to be here. Getting on a plane Saturday morning, flying down to St. Simons, Brunswick. Going to do a little fishing on the outgoing tide Saturday.
Yeah.
My wife and I are going to try to paddle a tandem kayak on Sunday. So if y'all don't ever hear from me again, my wife hit me in the head and threw me in the marsh. So we're going to paddle. Sunday we're going to paddle, and then my father and I are going to get in one of the boats, and we got a big, big spring tide. Not a real big one, but we got 9 foot coming in Saturday and Sunday. I think big ones are about 12. So I think Monday we're going to try to slide across. My parents have about 2 acres on a saltwater marsh creek, and we're going to slide across and see if there's anything up on the flats area, and see if there's any reds eating fiddlers. If not, we'll just go hunt around for some sea trout.
Yeah.
So they had a lot of rain, so that's no good. So we'll see.
Yeah, it gets with those big tides and stuff.
Yeah.
My first trip down there, I took the clone down and we fished Crooked River there just north of the sub base. And
that's good stuff.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, but that was my first attempt to taking the clone out in an area like that. And I learned a lot of lessons, but I might have to follow you over there one day, man. That's some good fishing around that area. So
I'm not that far. We can launch off my mom's dock, man. She's got a floating dock. We can launch right off that and just paddle up and down the creek. when the tides aren't so big.
Yeah. All right, Jim, again, thanks for tuning in and joining us tonight, man. Comments and critiques in the chat room, we appreciate it. And we'll see you next week. Stan, are you there? You still there, buddy?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Tomorrow,
Sergeant at Arms for the Boondoggle with the Quad Pod and Snake Girl.
We're ready. Tomorrow is a little pre-Boondoggle shakedown for my wife's new Revo 13. We're going to hit the Stono River, see if we can. We're going to target some flounder. I'm trying to, like Redfish Chuck, I really would like to catch some flounder at the Boondoggle, especially since we now have a new recipe for whole fried flounder that delicious. So we'll have to break that recipe out at the Boondoggle. So I'm going to practice my skills and techniques tomorrow, and also Chuck or anybody in this forum, next time you talk to my wife, please bust her chops for breaking the tip off of my carrot stick.
Whoa. I got you, buddy.
Yes. So,
see, what was she doing with your fishing rod? I thought that was her fishing rod.
Yeah, no, dude, I got a wife who fishes. Those aren't your fishing rods anymore, brother.
I was just about to say that.
Man.
I lived with Stan and Holly for 5 days. I was just about to say that that ain't the way that household runs, man.
Yeah, Stan.
You know, I don't know why her 6.5-footer, you know, is fine, but my 7-footer is now missing the tip off of it, and I was like, okay, I'll keep yours. She's like, no, yours is broken.
Man, be thankful you have a wife who fishes, brother.
That's right, man.
I am. You know what? She's got better gear than I have. She's got a more expensive boat. I love my Cuda better than her little pedal boat she's got. But still, you know what? I have no problem spending money to fuel her love of kayaking and fishing. So
there you go.
That's right. You got the kids right out there with you, man. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. On that note, we're going to call it a night. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate it. You guys in the chat room, Cap D, Hammerhead, Jim Van Pelt, Scuba Stan is still there. Jack Chum, we'll check you guys later, man. That's it. We're out. 14 in a wake up, and we're at the Boondoggle. We'll see you guys there. I'm Chip Gibson, a tree hugger. We started back off on Monday night with Redfish Chuck. Be there, and we'll see you next time. Good night.